Today's Daf HaShavua Shir in Yerushalmi Brachas is dedicated to the memory of Dora Bas Rivka Silver, Aleha Shalom. It begins in the Oz V'Hadar edition on Daf Chav Tes Amid Beis, the fourth wide line, the fourth word from the end of the line. All V'Iftir Eloi. In the Vilna edition, it is on Daf Chav Amid Aleph. Begins the Gemara, all V'Iftir Eloi. He went up. We're speaking about a continuation of the last story in the Gemara, where Resh Lakish was mekabel tanchumen. He was mekabel. He received consolation for the death of his Talmud Reb Chiya Bar Ada, as the Gemara concluded. Nema Talmidei de Bar Nasha Chavolei Kabrei, that we can see from the fact that Resh Lakish accepted consolation tanchumen on the loss of his Talmud Reb Chiya Bar Ada, that a Talmud can be as dear to a person as his own child, his own son. And now the Gemara relates that not only did Resh Lakish receive Tanchumen on Reb Chiya Bar Ada like a relative, even though he wasn't a relative, but in fact, Resh Lakish got up and ve'iftir lavi. What does the word ve'iftir mean? This we find in the Charedim on Daf Lamed Amid Aleph, in the right-hand column, the second line, iftir pasach v'dorish. He got up and he began to explain the pasuk, the famous pasuk in Shir HaShirim Perik Vav Pasuk Beis, where the pasuk says, Doidi yored leganoi larugis habaisim liris paganim velulkoit shayshanim. That is the full pasuk. So Resh Lakish said, Doidi, my beloved, yored leganoi, he went down to his garden, larugis habaisim, to the beds of fragrant spices, liris to graze paganim in the gardens. And Resh Lakish asked on this pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Loitzercha, it's not necessary, as the Marav Fulda and the Rosh Cirillo learn. And in fact, if we look first at the Rosh Cirillo, three lines from the bottom in the left-hand column, he has a different girsa than what we have in the Gemara. His girsa is, Loitzercha, Deloi, Duh, you don't need the way it's written, Ella, it should be written, Doidi yored leganoi liris beganoi, my beganim. Now we have the girsa as we find in the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, liris beganim. But the way the Rosh Cirillo has it is that Resh Lakish asked the question when he gave his hesped, it shouldn't have been written beginning in Lashon Yachid, ganoi, his garden, and ending Belosh and Rabin Ganim. It should have been written, Eladoi de Yard Liganoi, Liris Biganoi. So here's where the Rosh Cirillo changes from our Girsa. We have the Gemara at this point saying Biganim, where the Rosh Cirillo has Biganoi. But the question is explained further in the Maraful, the Kloimer. Loihavale Lemeimer, Cain. He shouldn't have said Beganim, plural, de leganoi, lashon yachidhu, veliris beganim, lashon rabimhu. How does Shlomo HaMelech in Shir HaShirim change from a lashon yachid at the beginning of the pasuk, singular, to a plural lashon leganim at the end of the pasuk? And therefore, Resh Lakish said, we have to explain the pasuk in the following manner. Doidi zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my beloved, this is Hashem, yored leganoi, he went down to his garden, that refers zeh ha'olam, this is the entire world. La rugas habaisam, the beds of fragrant spices, that refers to Eli Yisrael, that's Yisrael. Lires beganim, to graze in the gardens. Now here we're speaking about different gardens than we spoke about at the beginning of the pasuk. At the beginning of the pasuk, we're speaking about the gan, meaning the world. And this world has the bed of fragrant spices, which is Klal Yisrael in it, and it has many other gardens. Liris beganim elu umas olam. Those are the nations of the world. Vililkoit b'sheshanim, and to pick the roses, elu hatzadikim shemisalkan mibenem. These are the tzadikim which he removes from them. And the Pnei Moshe says that in the last Pnei Moshe on the right-hand column, he looks at the gardens which are the Goyim, im yesh b'hen eizet tzadik l'keich mehem, u'medapka l'Yisrael, k'mefarash b'amashal. We're going to see the mashal in a few moments where it tells us that Hashem takes the tzaddikim from the Umis Oilam and has them attached to the Bnei Yisrael. V'lilkoi tshoshanim ala rukas aboysim koi. According to the Pnei Moshe, the last words of the Pasuk, lilkoi tshoshanim, does not refer back to the ganim, the gardens which refers to the Umis Oilam, but rather it goes back to earlier in the Pasuk, to the arugas haboysim, the beds of fragrant spices, which is Klal Yisrael, and Hashem takes the tzaddikim of Klal Yisrael, Mesalkim Beinayim, he takes it away from Klal Yisrael. And it's very appropriate that we are recording this shiur on Gimel Mar Cheshvin, which was, unfortunately, a day of loss to Klal Yisrael of the Goin HaGoinim Moron, Harav Ovadia Yosef Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha. And this entire next Amud refers to Hespedim that were given for great Tzadikim, and it should be a S'chus L'Ili Nishmasai that we are learning this daf in his memory. Doidi Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he's going down and he's checking the beds of fragrant spices of Klal Yisrael. He's checking the gardens of the Umis Oilam. And then he goes back and takes the tzaddikim. What does this mean exactly? He takes the tzaddikim from the Bnei Yisrael. Mashlo Mashlo Ma'ad Dover Daimer. They compared this to the following. Lamelech, to a king. Shehoyah Loi Ben, he had a son. V'hoyah Chavav Alov Yos Midai. He was very precious and dear to the father, the king. Ma Asa Melech, what did the king do for his beloved son? Not to Loi Pardis, he planted orchards for him. Ben, when the son would do the ruts and the will of the father, he would go through the entire world, and he would see, if he would see some planting, some shrub or bush or tree that was very good in the world, he would take that plant and he would plant it in his garden that he had given to his son. So when the son would do something which would anger the father, he would cut down kol nati yosef, all the plantings of the son. Kach, so too, when the Jews do the will of Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu machzer b'chol olam kuloi, he goes through the entire world. V'roya eizet tzadik b'mis olam, and he looks for a tzadik amongst the nations of the world. As we turn to Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, u'mevi'oy medabka l'Yisrael, and he brings that tzadik, and he connects that tzadik to Klal Yisrael. Kigoin, Yisroi, like Yisroi, v'rochav, this is Rochav Hazayna, and the Medrash in Kehelis Rabbah adds two more, and they were Ruths and Antoninus. These were four Gerim who converted to Yahadus. The first was Yisroi, Moshe's father-in-law, whose Bnei Bon of the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin were Loimet Torah Bnei Brak. They became members of the Sanhedrin. Rachav was the one who had an inn where the Meraglim hid, and when the city of Yericho was captured, her life as well as her family's lives were spared, and she later was Megayer, and she married Yeshua, and eight Nevi'im came out of Rachav Hazayna. Rus HaMe'aviya was Ema Shal Malchus. She was the mother of Malchus Beis David, which eventually will result in Mashiach ben David. And finally, according to the Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin, Perik Yud, Halacha Hey, Antoninus, who was the Roman emperor, and when he was traveling through his empire, he visited Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, and he met Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and he formed a friendship that lasted an entire life between him and Rabbi, and according to the Yerushalmi, Antoninus was Megayer. So I just want to add that perhaps, as we find in Parsha Shalach, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Chaf, when Moshe sent the Meraglim, he told them to check out many things. One of the things he told them to check out was Hayesh Ba Eitz, does it have a tree? And Rashi explains there, Im Yesh Bem Odom Kosher Sheyogin Aleim B'Shusay. Do they have some great person who, as a result of him being with them, he will be Megan, he will protect the Goyim in his schus. So it's possible that in the mashal that we're giving here, when Klal Yisrael does the Ratzon of Hashem or does not do the Ratzon of Hashem, that initially when they do the Ratzon of Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects Klal Yisrael by having the tzaddikim of the Umis Olam convert to Yahadus, and then they are no longer Megin, they do not protect the Goyim, they do not protect our enemies anymore. However, if Klal Yisrael does not do the Ratzon of Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to come down to his Arugas HaBaisim, to his beds of fragrant spices, and then he has to take our tzaddikim, as the Gemara said before, V'lilkot b'shoshanim, Elu HaTzaddikim, that's the tzaddikim of Klal Yisrael. He doesn't go anymore to the Ganim to see the tzaddikim of the Goyim, to have them attach themselves, as we learned about these four Geirim and Geyoris that converted to Yahadus. He doesn't remove their Hagana, their protection of the Umis Olam, by having their tzaddikim join Klal Yisrael. But when Klal Yisrael is not zoicha to that, then unfortunately he has to take away the tzaddikim prior to their allotted time. He's going to have to take them away because of the Averis of Klal Yisrael, and he'll have to be misalik the tzaddikim shebeinayim. As the Pnei Moshe learned, the beinayim refers to the tzaddikim, not of the goyim, but going back to the Arugas HaBosam, the tzaddikim of Klal Yisrael. That's what the Gemara now says on the second line on the Flamin of Aleph, Ubishah, Shehein Machisin, I say, when Klal Yisrael angers Hashem with their averis, Hayamisalik HaTzaddikim shebeinayim, he would remove the tzaddikim from the Arugas HaBosam. And now our question that we asked in the beginning, why do we go from Yochid to Rabbim, is answered. Originally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down to the world, and then he first checks if we are doing the Ratzon of Hashem, he will go to his Ganim, that refers to the Umis Olam, and if we're not doing the Ratzon of Hashem, then he will go to the Sheshanim, the Tzaddikim of Klal Yisrael itself, and unfortunately remove them. So we've seen already one reason why tzaddikim could be taken and snatched away from Klal Yisrael before their time because of the averis of Klal Yisrael. Continues the Gemara with this inyan of tzaddikim being nifter before their time, dolma, as the Pnei Moshe explains here and other places that we've had this word in the Yerushalmi. Dolma means maisa, a story concerning Rabbi Chiya bar Abba v'charuse, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba and his group of Talmidim. The is the Moran, the word the Moran means the Amrin, and some say that it was about Rabbi Yossi bar Rebbe Chalafta v'charuse and his group of Talmidim. The is the Moran, the same thing, it's is the Amrin, Rabbi Kiva v'charuse, have a Yasvin, Laibi or Raisa. They were busy, Isaac in learning, steiging in learning. Tachois, under chadetain, under a fig tree, v'havim mor detainasa, and the owner of the fig tree, koritz, as the name Moshe, in explaining this story, explains the word koritz, he was mashkim baboiker. He used to get up early in the morning before these tamidim gathered with their tamidim, v'lokit lo b'chol yom, and every day he would collect the figs that had ripened on the tree, since figs ripen on a tree at different times. When he saw newly ripened figs, he would get up early in the morning and collect them before these Talmidei Chacham could gather to learn with their Talmidim. Amrin, so they were wondering, why is he getting up so early in the morning to do this? Shema hu choishtinu, maybe he's choishet, that if he wouldn't come, we would help ourselves to the fig trees. Nachlevis mekameinu, so let us switch our place So he shouldn't be choishes anymore that we're trying to take his figs. L'macher, the next day, asya mor de tenisa gabon. So the owner of the fig tree visited them when he saw that they weren't learning anymore under his fig tree. Omar loin, he said to them, Moirai, as the Pnei Moshe expresses it when he explains the story, Moirai v'raboisai, my masters, my teachers, af choda mitzvah, davisa nehigin v'avdenimi minna toinamini. Are you holding back one mitzvah that you used to do with me, namely that you used to learn under my fig tree? You're not doing that? You're holding it back from me? Amrulei, so the Talmid Chacham answered the owner of the fig tree, Amrinan, we said, if you're getting so early up in the morning, Dilmed Akshalon, you're choshed us that we want to steal your figs. Bit Safra, so the owner of the fig tree, as the Pnei Moshe explains it, says that he spoke to himself. He said, I will show them, I'll let them understand why I'm getting up early in the morning. Bitsafra osi moidoyos, and I'm going to let them understand why I get up early. Zorcholov hachamov is liutenoi. So what he did was that one day he didn't collect it early in the morning. And what happened, the strong sun was shining on the figs, and that results in worms coming into the figs, and they were ruined. So he gets up early because that's the only way to make sure that the heat of the sun does not produce the worms in the figs and ruin them. So what lesson did these great Talmidei Chacham learn from this maisa? Ba'isa Shah, at that moment, Omru, they said, Baal hata'eino yodea emasa yonasa shel ta'eino lukai. The owner of the fig tree knows when it's the right time to collect the figs. Va'yolaikta, and when it came the right time, that's when he collected them. Kach, so too, we can learn out a tremendous lesson. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodea Emasai Oynasin Shel Tzadikim L'Salach Min Olam. He knows when it's the time of the tzadikim to go away from the world. V'hu Misalkin. And when it comes that time, he removes them from this world. This now is a second reason why Talmidei Chachamim can die young, can die earlier before their allotted time, because Hashem knows that perhaps with these tzaddikim, perhaps had they lived longer, they would have gone down from their madrega. And he like the marshal of the figs that became wormy, Hashem wants to pluck them at their best moment when they're at their zenith in Kiddush and in Tahara, in Torah and in Mitzvahs, before they can go down. And that would be a second reason for the siluk of Talmidei Chachamim before their Zman. The Gemara now relates the story of another great Talmid Chacham who was Nifter at a very young age, and this is Rav Bun, who, through tremendous Hasmada, became a tremendous Talmid Chacham at the age of 28, and then he was Nifter. Kad Domach Rav Bun bar Rav Chiya, when Rav Bun, the son of Rav Chiya, passed away, all Rav Zeir went out the Iftri Lavi. And he, as the Haredim explains, Pasach v'dorish, he came to expound on the Pasuk in Koheles, in Perek Hey Pasuk Yud Aleph, where the Pasuk states in its entirety, Mesuka Shnas Ha'oived, simply translated, the sleep of the worker is sweet, Ima'at v'imharba Yoichal, if he eats a lot or a little. And on this, the Gemara has a question, why do we end up, if we're speaking about sleep, that he eats a lot? It should have said, the sweet sleep of a worker, his sleep is sweet, whether he sleeps a little or a lot. He's accomplished in his busy, productive day, and whatever the amount of time he sleeps, he feels good about his work, about what he's accomplished, so his sleep is sweet. But it doesn't speak about sleep, it speaks about eating. This is the problem that is now going to be addressed. And the Gemara says, Mesuka shnas ha'ovid, yoshen, at the end of the pasuk, ein ksiv kan, ela imat imhar b'yoichal. The answer is as follows. Lama hoy Rav Bun bar Chiya darmaku, to what was Rav Bun, the son of Rav Chiya, compared to Lamelech, to a king, shesachar poy alam harbe, that he hired many workers. V'hoy yisham poy alechad, there was there one worker, v'hoya miskasher. We're goyris, the word here in the brackets, not in the parentheses. He was very proficient, bimlachtoy. Yaisu midai, more than normal, he was extremely proficient. Ma'as HaMelech, what did the king do since he had finished his work early before all the other workers? Notla, he took this person, v'yimetali moyen, he walked with him, aruchus uktsoris, on long or short walks, le'itoy say erev, towards night, bo'u oysom palm, those workers who had worked a whole day came, le'itoschorin, to take their payment, v'nasan lo'ischorin moyen mishalom, he gave the same payment to this worker, only worked a few hours a day. And the other workers were complaining. And they said, we worked a whole day. He only worked for 2 hours. And you give him the same amount of payment as we get. The king told the other workers, what he did in 2 hours, he did more than what work you put in the whole day, in the 2 hours that he worked. That's how industrious he is and how proficient he is. Kach, so too, we can give this as a marshal to Rav Bun. Kach, yoga Rav Bun, b'toyrul esrim, u'shmoyne shana. What Rav Bun accomplished in 28 years, Masha ein Talmud Vasik, what a conscientious Talmud, and regular conscientious Talmud is not able to do, Yachal Lulmoid Lamea Shana, even in 100 years, even in a century, he won't be able to accomplish what Rav Bun was able to accomplish. Let us see the Pnei Moshe in the left hand column, Divya Maskal Yoshin, Anksif Kandilafi Pashte Dekra, the Koyal Shina. According to the simple pshat of the pasuk, if it's going on sleep, shalo oivet of the worker, the yaga b'mlacha, and he worked hard in his work, and he's tired. Im kein oyitzarech l'saim. The end of the pasuk should have stated, kein like this. Im atvim harbe yashin umay yoichel. Why does it speak about eating? Lefikach dorshlei al inyan ashayne. He's saying that the word in the beginning of the pasuk, Mesukah Shnasa Oivet, does not mean the sleep of the Oivet, but rather it comes, as we find the Gemara Nida, at the end of Nida, Dafayin Gimel, Kol HaShoyne Halachas B'chol Yoyim, Muftuch Lo Yishu Ben HaMalom HaBo. A person who learns Halachas every day is guaranteed to be a Ben Olam HaBo. So that's what the pasuk means. That's what Shlomo HaMelech is saying in Kehelis. Mesukah Shnasa Oivet, the diligent learning of the one who toils in Torah, he's going to eat equally to the one who puts in a lot of time. As the Pnei Moshe continues, Lefikach Dorshei Al Inyan Hashoyne V'Loymed V'Yoga B'Mishnasi B'Zrizus, he did it with a lot of proficiency. He was very diligent about his learning. And therefore, even though he only learned Rav Bun for 28 years, v'ma'at v'mharbe yoichol, hu b'schorei k'moy elu shoyigim b'chol yoyim v'yomim harbe, shalafiz rizus v'his amtsus shaloi hu mishtalim k'moy shemesayim b'mashal shayvi, that this worker in the mashal who only worked 2 hours did even more than the workers who worked all day, and therefore he will definitely get equal schar to them. So even though Rav Bun only lived for 28 years, but his toiling in Torah was so great that he, ma'atim harbe, even though it was not as much as other people who lived 70, 80 years, but yoichel, he will get to eat in Olam HaBo the schar as if he had lived a long life. From the story of Rav Bun, we see another reason why Hashem may take a tzaddik young away from this world. As we saw, Rav Bun was only 28 years old. And the reason is, if the tzaddik fulfills his tafkid in a short time by being so diligent and proficient and with so much hasmada that he completes his mission in a short amount of time, then Hashem would take him away from this world as well. And so from this entire Gemara, we have three reasons why Hashem would take a tzaddik away from the world before an advanced age, and the three reasons are either because of the Averis of Klal Yisrael, Lilkot B'Shoshanim, or because perhaps the Tzaddik, if he gets any older, will go down from his Madrega, and therefore Hashem wants to pluck the Tzaddik at his height of Kedusha in Torah and Mitzvahs. And the third, as we just saw from Rabbun, when a tzaddik in a short amount of time fulfills his tafkid and his mission on this world. Continues the Gemara, Kadomach Rab Simon Bar Zvid, when Rab Simon Bar Zvid passed away, all Rab Lei v'Iftar Lovi. So Rab Lei went and he expounded the following pasuk on Rab Simon, Arba Dvorim Tashmishoi, Shel Olam, there are four things which the world uses. The Kulon and all of them, Im Avdu Yeshlam Chalipin, if they are lost, we can find other things as a substitute. As we find the Pasuk states, Ki Yeshl Kesev Moitza, there is a source for silver. If you lose one amount of silver, there's always a source to get more silver. And there is a place for refined gold. If you lose some gold, you can get other gold to replace it. Barzel iron may offer, yukach can be taken from the earth. The even yatsuk nechosh, and copper can be smelted from earth. But elu, but these, im avdu, if they're lost, yeshlem chalipin, they have an exchange. They have a substitute. Aval Talmud Chacham, a Talmud Chacham Shemeis, mi mevi lanu chalipasai, who will bring to us his replacement? Mi mevi lanu tumurasai, who will bring to us his substitute? V'hachachma me'ayin timatzei, where will wisdom be found? V'ezamakam bina, where is the place of understanding? V'nelman is hidden me'enei kolchoi. So a loss of a Talmud Chacham is irreplaceable for each and every Talmud Chacham. There is no substitute, whereas these four elements can be substituted and replaced. The Gemara now relates another hesped on the same Amora Rav Simon. Amar Rav Levi, said Rav Levi, Ma im ache Yosef al shematzu metziya, yatzalibam dechseva yatzalibam. When the brothers of Yosef found the money in their sacks, it says that their hearts went out. They were at a loss. They were bewildered when this happened to them, even though on the short run it was a gain for them. They had found money, but they knew that it would have tragic consequences. So we can make a Kal V'Chaymer. If the brothers of Yosef who found the Metziah, they were petrified, Anu, we, Sh'avadnu es Rav Simon Bar Zvid, we lost a Metziah, we lost a treasure in Rav Simon Bar Zvid. So Alachas Kama V'Kama, we have a loss not only in the future, but we have a loss right now, so Kal V'Chaymer, that our loss is a tremendous loss. Kadomach Rab Levi Bar Sisi, when Rab Levi Bar Sisi was Nifter, all Avu Yud Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, went up Yifter Ilave, and he expounded on the following Pasuk in Kehelet, Soif Dover HaKol Nishma, so Lekim Yorei, at the end, everything is heard, and a person has to fear Hashem. What was Levi ben Sisi compared to Lamelch, to a king? Shehoylekerem, that had a vineyard. Vahayu boy meagufanim, and had 100 vines in the vineyard. Vahayu oisays kol shana v'shanim meichav yishal yayin. These 100 vines would make 100 barrels of wine. Omer al chamishim, then 50 got lost, and he only had 50 left. Vahayu oisay meichav yishal yayin. The 50 still produced 100 barrels of wine. Omen al Arboim, we only had 40, Vayu Isa Mechav Yishol Yayin. Omen al Shloishim, we only had 30, Vayu Isa Mechav Yishol Yayin. Omen al Esrim, we only had 20, Vayu Isa Mechav Yishol Yayin. Omen al Esri, we only had 10 left, Vayu Isa Mechav Yishol Yayin. Omen al Echad, finally from the whole 100, he only had one of the 100 vines left, Vayu Isa Mechav Yishol Yayin. That one vine still produced 100 barrels of wine. So that one vine which remained was dear to the king just as much as the whole vineyard of 100 to begin with was dear to him. Now that one was equal to the whole 100. Kach, Hoyer, Rab Levi Bar Sissi, Chav of Nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kechol Adam, like the whole rest of the world. Hado Dechsev, that's what it says at the end of this Pasuk, that we are darshaning here, that the father of Shmuel was darshaning. Soif Dovar, Kol Nishmas, Lekim Yirei, and the end of the Pasuk concludes, Ves Mitzvois of Shemar, Kizek Kol Adam, and he's darshaning it based on this marshal, Kizek Kechol Adam. This one, Yori Shemayim, this one great tzaddik, Rab Levi Bar Sissi, he is equal to everyone else, and therefore his loss is so great. Before we begin the next Gemara, we should quote the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Bavli, Kuf Yud Zayin, which relates the story of how Rav Kahana came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kahana had done something which got him in trouble with the Greek authorities. He also had done something which was like Moira Halacha Lefnei Rabboi, and as a result, his Rebbe told him he has to go to Eretz Yisrael, he should sit by the shir of Rabbi Yochanan for 7 years and not ask a question. He came to the yeshiva of Rabbi Yochanan, he heard the shir. After the shir, he spoke to Rish Lakish, and he asked various questions, hard questions on the shir. And Rish Lakish, when he heard those questions, told Rabbi Yochanan, Ari olam mibavel, a lion has come up from Bavel, and you should prepare the shir well tomorrow because this lion is very capable of challenging you. So the next day, he was under a ban to ask questions to Rabbi Yochanan during the shir, and Rabbi Yochanan began to say the shir, and he didn't ask any questions. So he was put back. Originally, he was put up on the front row. He didn't ask any questions. Next day, he was in row two. He didn't ask questions the next day. He was in row three, until he was in the back of the room in row seven with the lowest Talmidim. The Shiurei Das points out the emes of Chazal, that it didn't go with how old you were. It went with the proficiency that you had in learning. You could be a young person, as we're going to see from our Yerushalmi here, that Rav Kahana was very young when he came to the shir of Rabbi Yochanan and Eretz Yisrael. But if he was an Ari, he was put in the front row. If he is, as Rabbi Yochanan said to Rish Lakish, Ari Nasa Shul, when he saw that Rav Kahana did not ask any questions, he said, what happened to your lion? Did he become a fox? He doesn't know how to ask any questions in Torah. He's put back with the slower students in the back, who may have been even older, but they weren't so proficient in Torah. It went with emes. What was your madrega in learning? If you were great in learning, even if you were young, you were in the front. If you were weak in learning, even if you were old, you were put in the back. Then Rav Kahana said to himself that the 7 days of being put back row after row until he was in the back with the lowest Talmidim, that busha that he suffered was equal to 7 years of not asking questions, and he began on day eight to ask questions. So he asked questions, he was put into the second row. He asked another question, he was put up closer to Rabbi Yochanan in the third row, and so on every day until he was sitting right in the front. But he kept on asking questions. So Rabbi Yochanan was sitting on seven pillows. Every time now that Rav Kahana asked a question, Rabbi Yochanan gave one of his pillows to Rav Kahana. He kept on asking questions until Rav Yochanan was sitting on the floor and Rav Kahana was sitting on top of the seven pillows. In other words, v'havi misa'abik ba'afar ragleyem, you have to sit at the feet of the master. What had happened is that the elderly, venerable Rosh Yeshiva Rabbi Yochanan was sitting on the floor like one of the Talmidim, and Rav Kahana had become like the Rosh Yeshiva because he showed that he was stronger than Rabbi Yochanan in learning. He was now sitting on the pillows. Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara said, had very, very thick eyebrows. And there was a Talmud who used to, when Rabbi Yochanan wanted to see someone, he would take a golden fork and lift up the eyebrows of Rabbi Yochanan so that he could see. And Rabbi Yochanan saw that Rav Kahana was smirking at him. In truth, Rav Kahana had an injury on his lips that made him look like he was smirking, but he really wasn't smirking. But Rabbi Yochanan thought that he was gloating over the fact that he had lowered Rabbi Yochanan to the floor and that Rav Kahana had taken over. So Rabbi Yochanan felt that this was a chutzpah against the Kavod HaTorah, and he brought about the death of Rav Kahana. And then he spoke to his Talmidim and he said, did you see what Rav Kahana did to me? He mocked me. And his Talmidim said, no, he didn't mock you. He had an injury on his lips. And when Rabbi Yochanan realized his mistake, he went to the kever of Rav Kahana. He said, let a Rebbe come to a Talmud. There was a snake that was coiled around the kever and it wouldn't let Rabbi Yochanan come into the kever. And then he said, let a chaver come to a chaver. Still the snake refused to uncoil itself. Finally, Rabbi Yochanan said, let a Talmud come to a Rebbe. The snake uncoiled itself, and Rabbi Yochanan went into the kever, and he performed Tchiyas HaMesim on Rav Kahana and brought him back to life. This is Bekitzer, the story, the fascinating story that we have in the Bavli, on Daf, Kuf Yud Zayin, and Bava Kama. Our Gemara picks up from the end of that previous story in Bavli Bava Kama. Kahana have ulim sagin, says the Charedim, Kahana zehu Rav Kahana. This is Rav Kahana. But he's only referred to as Kahana here in our Gemara. And as we see in the Charedim, have ulim sagin, which means katsolik lahocha. He was a very young boy when he came from Bavel Lahocha to here to Eretz Yisrael, explains the Charedim. Hayanar ma'oid rach b'shanim k'shal Eretz Yisrael va'azet timse b'chol makom b'Yerushalmi k'shaim remember shaloi omer kahana omar ve'eno omer Rav Kahana, because he wasn't yet Rav Kahana, he was a young boy. Let us go back to the Gemara, the last line, kahana have ulam sagin. The Rash Cirillo says ulam sagin means that he was zoriz b'toira uve mitzvahs. He was very proficient in Torah and mitzvahs. The Pnei Moshe in Divrei HaMashal Kahana Hava Ulam Sagin says, he was very young, but he was a very harbe. He was a very smart, big Talmud Chacham. Kishol lekan uve pnei shehoya bachar v'charev. Since he was young and sharp, v'yakoyes miyad, he would get angry very quickly. Kahid l'kamei, we're going to see on Amid Bey, Shoye ma'anish l'elu ha'maligim, those who mocked him, he punished them. Val derech sh'amri, hay tzirmid rabbanan, derasich, a tzirmid rabbanan, a talmud chacham, who gets angry, or raisa de karumaraschalei, his Torah, the heat, the fire of his Torah is causing him to be angry. Hilkach ka'amar ulam sagin. That's why he's referred to here in the Gemara as a young Talmud Chacham who had the intense heat and fire of the Torah. Katsolik Lacha, when he came here, he was young. Chamse Chad Bar Pachin. Bar Pachin, explains the Charedim, is a lowlife. Ro'o Pachus Echad Shfal Anoshim Visloitzitzolav Kilikamei. He mocked him. Umipnei heyoyse nar harbe mirasichas adam layocholay elizbal cherpa velishtay venishay. He was a young person, and because of the heat of his blood, due to being a young man, so therefore he was not able to take embarrassment and shame and be quiet, and that's what resulted in a punishment, as we're going to see, of this less who mocked him. As we turn to Daf Lamed Amid Beis, Amar Lei Ma Kola Bishmaya. I heard you were in heaven. What's news in heaven? In other words, says the Rosh Cirillo, Kloimar, says the Rosh Cirillo, Hiligalov. He mocked him. Sheshama Shemais because of Achaya, that he died and he came back to life. Veloy Hayamam, and he thought it was a baloney story. It was a made up story. So he mocking him. He says, what's news in heaven? Amalei, you know what's news? Gzar dine dahu gavr michsam. The gzar din, the psak din against this person, against you, is sealed, meaning that you were destined to be nifter. So others say that he didn't mean to actually curse him that he should die, but he was answering a wisecrack with a similar sharp remark. However, there is a concept known as bris crucilis fasayim, that the lips have a covenant that if something is uttered out of the lips, they can have a devastating effect. And here it was, the Mefarshim explained, it was begeder kishkoga sheyatzim b'nei ha-shalit. It was like by mistake, the king said a remark slipped through his tongue, and it was already something that could not be turned back. And therefore, unfortunately, the Gemara relates, v'chein havis le'umis, so it was that this person died. And then a similar story, pagabei chamsei chadcharin, another fellow met him and saw him, Amar le makol b'shmai, mocked him the same way, what's news in heaven? Oh, sure, we know you died and you came back to life. Sure, what's news in heaven? Amar le gizar din edahu gavra, missed him. He said the same thing. The gizar din, the decree of heaven has been sealed. In other words, that you're supposed to die as well. V'chein havis le, and so it was that person died also. Amar, so Rav Kahana said to himself, Mas likis, why did you come up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael? Mizake, you came up to do schus and merit, Torah mitzvahs. V'ano ichte, and instead, what am I doing? I am sinning. I am causing people to die. Mas likis, l'miktel b'nei Eretz Yisrael, did you come up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to kill out the b'nei Eretz Yisrael? Nezo v'neches li, let me go down, let me go back to the place where I came up from. In other words, let me return to Bavel. But he asked a question. He wanted to get permission from Rabbi Yochanan. He came to Rabbi Yochanan. I have a question. Bar nash, a person, his mother belittles him, shames him. The itzid avua, and his father's wife, who's not his mother, but only married to his father, mikrolei, she gives him honor and covet. Mikrole, lehen yezele. To which one should he go? Should he go to his mother who belittles him? Should he go to his father's wife who gives him honor? Amale, Rabbi Yochanan responded, yezele, lehen demakrole. He should go to the one who gives him honor, who treats him in the right way. So he understood that Rabbi Yochanan is giving him rishus to go to Bavel, that treats him with respect, and not to remain in Eretz Yisrael, where they're not giving him the right respect, even though Eretz Yisrael is like his mother. Nachislei Kahana, so Rav Kahana went down, minhein de Solik, to the place where he had come up from, which was from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Now he went back to Bavel. Asen, they came, Amar le Rav Yochanan, they told Rav Yochanan, ha nachis kahana le Bavel, Rav Kahana went down to Bavel. Amar ma have mezalei. How could he do that? How could he go there? Delay Meis Rishus, he didn't get permission from me. To leave the Rebbe and not get permission? Amrulei, they answered to Rabbi Yochanan, who milsa da Amrulach? That question that he asked you about the mother and his father's wife, that the mother was belittling him and the father's wife was giving him honor, he have an atilas Rishus today. That was his way of asking permission from you. And you said he should go to the one who gives him honor, which was his father's wife, which in reality was Bavel, and since you gave him Rishus, he went back to Bavel. That was his asking of Rishus from you, and you're granting him Rishus to return to Bavel. Concerning the next Gemara, the Rosh Cirillo says that since we mentioned the story of Rav Kahana, who came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and he killed two people who mocked him, we're going to find a similar story now with Rav Ze'era, who was mocked in a way by people in Eretz Yisrael after he had come there from Bavel, and unfortunately the person who did something wrong to Rav Ze'era did not live to speak about it, as we will see. Rav Ze'era katsolik lohacha, when Rav Ze'era came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, ozel akizdam, he came to bloodlet in Eretz Yisrael, ozel boy mizben, since it's good to eat meat when someone gives blood, so he wanted to buy chadalitra, 1 liter of the kupit of meat, mintapcha, from the butcher. Amar Leh said to the butcher, bekama hadein litra, so how much, what's the amount that I need to pay for this liter of meat? Amar Leh bechamshin menyan, with 50 dinarim, v'chad kursim, and 1 lash. Amalei, you know what? Instead of the lash, Savloch Shitin takes 60 dinarin, like he will. He said, no, it's 50 with one lash. Savloch Shivin takes 70, like he will. He didn't accept 70. You need to get the lash. Savloch Shmoinim, take 80. Savloch Tishim, take 90. Ademot Meya, until it came to 100. Still, the butcher's adamant. He did not accept the 100 without a lash. No, you must get a lash. If that's your minhag to give a lash to someone who's from an outside country coming to Eretz Yisrael to buy meat, give me a lash. Berumsha that night, Nachas, so Rav Zeira went down, Lebeis Vada, to the Beis HaMedrash, to the Dayanim, the Rabbonin. Amar Loin, he said to them, Rabbonin, rabbis, Ma Bishman Hagadacha, what kind of bad minhag do you have here? The Loyachal Barnash Litra de Kupit, that a person, a guest coming to Eretz Yisrael cannot eat a liter of meat ad the machalei chad korsim until they give him one lash. Amrun lei, they were shocked. It was not, there was no minig like that. This butcher was chepping. He was bothering Rav Zeira. Umahu dein, what is this all about? Who's doing such a thing? In other words, the Rabbanan wanted to bring down this butcher, and if the story is true, and he can't explain himself in any way, they were willing and ready to punish him. Amar loin plantavcha, so Rav Zeira said, it's so-and-so, that butcher. Sholchan, they sent a delegation, boy, you may say, they wanted to bring him in front of the Bezdin, but v'ashkechan, the delegation that went to get him, they found Arone Nafka, that the Oren Hames, he had died, and they were taking out his body to the Levaya. Amrun Lei, so they said, the Bezdin said to Rav Zeira, Rebbe, Kol Hachin, did you have to get so angry that Min HaShemayim, they had to kill him? Amar Lehu, so Rav Zeira responded to them, Vaisi Eloi Doloi Kasi Alei. As the Rosh Cirillo says, Yavoi Alai Klola Im Kasti Lahargoi, Chas V'Sholom, I didn't get angry that he should be killed. I understood that perhaps there is such a minig. And as the gra is goyris here, not me savrat the minhagi kain, but he's goyris disavrat minhagi kain. I thought this was actually the minig. That's why I came down to you. I thought the minig might be based, as the Agodas Elio tells us, that there was a custom in the Ottoman Empire that when someone was inducted into the army, the general would come over and give him a knock in his neck, indicating that you are now subordinate to me. I'm the general, and you will follow what I'm going to tell you. So too, Rav Zeira thought the minhag HaMakom was that when you came to buy meat, you'd get a knock, a lash, meaning this is our minhag, and you better listen to all the minhagim of our makom. And the way we're teaching this to you is by giving you a lash to begin with, and maybe that was your minhag. I was coming to tell you that although I could understand the rationale for your minhag, I think it's a minhag bish, as he said. Ma bish minhaga dahacha. It's a bad minhag. But rationale for the minhag, I didn't blame the butcher. I understood the butcher was doing the minhag HaMakom, and I had a rationale for it. I came to you to complain that it's not a good minhag. In fact, there was no such minhag. The butcher was just bothering and hurting Rav Zeira, and as a result, Min HaShemayim, for bothering and hurting a Talmud Chacham, he got such an einish that unfortunately he was killed Min HaShemayim, and as the Rosh Cirillo explains, it's similar in many ways to the story of Rav Kana, who likewise came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and he was mocked in Eretz Yisrael, and as a result, Rav Kahana, perhaps inadvertently, but caused the death of two people who were mocking him, so too, Rav Zeira inadvertently caused the death of this butcher who was harming Rav Zeira.